when it comes to how the world works, for Mr. Trump, every day is a new opportunity to make more money and to rule over more people. That's the way Mr. Trump runs his business, the way he runs his life. For someone like Mrs. Clinton, it is another opportunity to lie to the public and to find another thing to trick people about. That's amazing. Another way to fool somebody else. There are people who utilize every single day of their lives and use them in certain ways to make sure that they have fun, even if it comes at the expense of other people, where they go up against others and try to knock down other people. Honestly, I just found this out, that there are entire TV shows, and I will be honest with you, I don't know if it exists in America. I'm not positive. It certainly exists in Europe. There are entire TV shows that are dedicated to the purpose of just trying to trick somebody. Just trying to play practical jokes and pranks on other people. Yeah, you're okay with that. Right, it makes sense, right? But in the end of the day, there are entire TV shows based on this, just about destroying people, and you see them laughing in the background and laughing over the fact that they just made a fool out of somebody on national TV, and obviously international TV, and that's there. For us, each day is supposed to be another day for the soldier, for an Eved Hashem, to give benefit to the whole world and to get closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu's purpose of why we were created in the first place. There's an idea, there's a set idea of what we want and what we're trying to do in this world. And although they have their ideas of what they want to do and where they want to go and what they want to be, our whole purpose, our set purpose, and every day is another opportunity for true Eved Hashem to get closer and closer and closer to the ultimate, which is this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where it should be. So what happens on a regular Yom Tov? A regular Yom Tov was created really, almost in essence, for ourselves. For us to be able to be mesameach with our families in such a fashion that we don't have to worry about anything else. Even if there is a business deal going on, we can't pay attention to it. Even if there is something that might be happening that everybody's going to want to go to. No, you got to sit down with your family. And granted, I'm not saying this from the woman's perspective, I'm saying it from the guy's perspective. You basically get to relax and get into it with your family as if you didn't have to do anything at all. It's a tremendous opportunity, and it's affording our children such a unique opportunity. What is it? To enjoy days with family. To enjoy tremendous days with family. Now, the food is especially important for this idea. And there are so many specific foods that are indelibly created just for Yom Tov itself. Obviously, Pesach, the whole idea of what it is, but Shavuos being the milchik chag, and Sukkot is just the challenge of what to eat without it congealing by the time it's outside for a little bit, right? What you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat, it's clear that each one of them create sort of like a Pavlovian effect. That means Pavlov, you know, Pavlov's dogs created the idea that came up with this idea that you can train somebody or something to do something without even trying so hard. You just do it again and again and again. So this Pavlovian idea of we love Yom Tov. We're going to eat a lot over Yom Tov. We're going to have Simcha over Yom Tov. It becomes part of our system, and that's what happened. And that's the intention of it. The intention seems to be more personal. It seems to be more of a focus on ourselves than it is to our Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes. The Chetzi Lachem, as opposed to the Chetzi Lachem. And the truth is, that's okay. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the greatest thing in the world. Could we do it better? Of course we could do it better. But there is something behind it that allows us to have the Yom Tov in such a way. But the truth is that if in our adult lives, as we grow up, our main affiliation with each Yom Tov is just about the food, and just, I don't mean to say it this way, but just about the family, then we're missing the point of what it is, especially if it's vacation value, of where am I going for Sukkot? Where am I going for Pesach? Oh, where am I going to be able to go? I'll tell you from my personal opinion, that maybe it's only because I don't have the millions of dollars necessary for this. I find it almost a joke reading Mishpacha magazine and seeing all of these, you know, they're telling you how to be a good yid, and how to be a simple yid, and how to be a good person. And then all of a sudden you see these huge ads for like the Swiss Alps, to have Pesach in the Swiss Alps. Like there's no such thing as having a Pesach anywhere else but the Swiss Alps, or even Connecticut, just to have it from one place to the other. I find it a bit of a joke. It just to me, it doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. But I sort of do. I get it. As you grow older, though, it should lose that value, the vacation value and the chag value and everything that goes together with it. It should be that we develop ourselves into understanding that when we were children, this is what was important. When we were younger, this is what was important. As we grow older, we start to cultivate that chatzi lasha, that connection. I get to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way than I do all year long. I get Birchas Kohanim in America, which I don't get in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Sfardim are a little bit different, right? But I get that Birchas Kohanim that I don't get. It should be an opportunity. And I still remember, as time went on, I was always looking forward to my wife coming to shul on time so I could get my kids there so I could do Birchas Kohanim with my kids underneath my towels. It's already in my head. Where I want it to be that way, Pavlovian, I guess you could say, but that's what it becomes. We should develop ourselves above that, where it becomes, I can get a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter what food I eat, it doesn't matter where I'm sitting or where I am, it doesn't matter anything else that goes on. And Yom Tov, I have an opportunity afforded to me to learn things that I wouldn't learn normally, to do things that I wouldn't do normally. And through the I guess you could say, the little efforts of my family, and through all the different things that Yom Tov has to offer, I'm able to get that connection back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sort of infuse myself with a spirit that will work for the next 6 months until the next Yom Tov comes along. That's the hope that we have when it comes to things like that. So what do you do when you have a chag like Purim? So what do we do with this? How do we act when it comes to something like this? What are we davening for? What are we supposed to do? What do we want to think about as Purim goes through? Now, I know that the mitzvah of Chayiv Inish L'Vesumi V'Puria Ad Lo Yada sort of takes over the holiday. So once you have that, and it's all about how quickly you can be Mekayim that mitzvah behizer, right? Then granted, the thought process that's there behind it is kind of lost in the ideal stage, and you're never going to be able to graduate to the next level. It's also famous that on Purim you have the famous idea of Kol HaPoshet Yad Nosen Lo. Anybody who puts out their hand, you give to them. Meaning, on Purim you have a tremendous ability to daven for things that you never would have asked for before. The same way that an ani going to an usher, putting out his hand and asking for something on Purim, is granted that request and the money is given to that ani, and that anybody who comes up to you, you should have money available to be able to give to everybody who asks you, even the other groups that are sitting there and going around and are challenging you for your time, for the money that you're being given. You should even be able to give to them. You should have a dollar or even quarters to be able to give to them. That's Kol HaPoshet Yad, and we apply that. The Kedusha Rim applies that to davening. That Kol HaPoshet Yad, if you daven on Purim, Nosen Lo, you're able to daven for things on Purim like you're not able to do all year long. We also know the famous Zohar that everybody quotes, that Purim is Yom HaKippur, and Yom Kippur is really the day like Purim, that really Yom Kippur is not even as great as the day of Purim itself, the special koach that it has, and there's something there. But what's the theme of the day? What overall would be, here's the theme of what we're doing all day long that we can take with us? Is it that our nation often has the chance or the ability to be destroyed, and that Hashem will always save us through the mediary of Mordecai, another Mordecai will come about? Is it that we should have a palpable fear when something is happening, because who knows if this is the next Haman that's going to really destroy us? Is there something that we should take on within the Kimu V'Kivlu aspect of accepting and loving the fact that we got Torah Sheval Peh? Is that something that we have to get involved with? What is it? What's the concept of what Purim stands for that we can really think behind the scenes of what we want from it? So Purim, it really is about our precarious existence throughout the nations. Meaning, it's amazing that so many non-Jews, so many of them, individuals and nations, have such an intense hatred for us, which makes no sense. No sense. The Arabs, you can somewhat get, but even then, it's so strange. the anti-Semitism of Europe is really weird, really strange. How strong it is, and what for what reason? Where does it come from? From what? Meaning, I'm listening to the news, and all I was hearing is on 780, and they were talking about the Ayatollah of Iran. Apparently their New Year's or something, some holiday had come up for them. And as they were talking about the New Year, the Ayatollah of Iran got up and he spoke about what they were going to do. And he was speaking about the new American deal that they have with Iran, and he said it's not enough. And he was saying how Iran has to be stronger than this, and we have to overcome it. And then he spoke about what he thinks of America, how it's terrible, it's such a terrible place. And we will never make peace with Israel. Where did that get thrown in from? The whole speech is about America. And as if we became the right arm extension of where America becomes, that is thrown into the speech. And nobody finds that as shocking. Everybody is just taking that as, yeah, that's what the Ayatollah speaks about. That's what he does. If the speech doesn't end the same way we end every speech with, and may Mashiach come. They end up with, and we will never make peace with Israel. That's their end. That's how they end every speech. Oh, and everybody sits there, oh, they can you rot zone. That's what they do. So it's amazing. For what? What did we do? How do we affect them in that way? In that sense, to think that everybody's like that, it's like a bad joke. So you know what you have to think about in Purim? What is so special about us that is worth hating? What do we have that they should hate? What is it that they're looking for that they see in us that they can't stand? So, it's obvious, right? Now that we just spoke it out, what do they see in us? They see in us, in you, in everybody here, good old godliness. They see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They see not only a love for God, not only an affinity for God, they see a connection that they will never have, that they've always wanted, and can't fathom why we have it more than them. But they know it. It's there. They know it's true. And they're so resentful for it. They hate us for it. These people don't deserve to have that connection. These people shouldn't have such a connection. We do X, Y, and Z. What do they do? It's because they have good doubles. And they see it in us. And every time they see a Jew walk down the street, whether it's a chassid walking down with his pious and his big hat and the long frock, or it's a secular Jew who, I guess, still is recognizable as being the... I don't know, I don't want to be anti-Semitic, so... The guy, who everybody knows is Jewish, aside from the name Friedman or Horowitz that he has at the very, very end. That guy walking down the street, they see them as absolutely equal to one another. Equal. And the same way God is by him, God is by that guy as well. They may not see it as clearly, but it's there. And Hitler, Yimach Shmo, saw this. Hitler, Yimach Shmo, made no difference. Hitler, Yimach Shmo, didn't make a difference if he even was a half-Jew. A half-Jew should be the same thing as a Jew. He's got half of that godliness within him. And here is what Purim is. Do you see that in yourself? They see it, and they hate us for it. So do you see it? Do you feel it? When you walk down the street, do you think of yourself as God's representative, as an Eved Hashem? Or do you think of yourself as just another guy walking down the street? They look at you, and they see you, whether it's out of the corner of their eye, or they're staring right at you, they're seeing a godly person. They know it. And there's something inside them that's killing them that they're not like you. And you? So what do you think as you're walking down the street? You just think... Do you treat yourself any different? Do you act in a different way than you would otherwise? Here's what Purim is. Purim is the realization. Not that Haman, or that we should be scared that someone like Haman is going to come to destroy us. It's the realization that they hate us for nothing. For nothing. For nothing. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close with us. And if they know it, and they see it, and they feel it, then we should start thinking about it ourselves. And the drinking should all be led to this final destination. You're losing your inhibitions, which tell you that you're nothing. Your inhibitions that tell you that you're not worthy. Your inhibitions that tell you that there's other people out there who are probably greater than you. And you sit there and you realize, I am God's servant. I do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do. I work for Him. Even the detached secular Jew. On Purim, he becomes an eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe, with the right amount of drinking, the right amounts, that is not an unlimited amount, with the right amount of drinking, you'll have the ability to see it within yourself. You'll see what they see. You'll see every time they look at you what they see within you. Let's take this further. Let's forget about yourself for a second. Can you see it in others? Do you see it in another Jew? Do you see the Tselem Elokim that's hiding behind the shell of the person itself? The mask that people put on for themselves. Is there a Tselem Elokim in your fellow friend, your roommate, your dorm mate, in your chavrusa, your rebbeim? In all of your friends, do you see that aspect, that godliness aspect that's within every single Jew? Do you treat him differently because of it? They hate him for it. So do you love him for it? If it's somebody that messed you over, that did something wrong to you, do you still see that little spark that's within him? That loving spark that means he's still an Eved Hashem. He may have messed up, but he's still an Eved Hashem. Do you see that within him? Purim is not only about yourself, your own, let's call your own issues. Can you see it in others? Can you find that when you take a drink, you're able to shed the mask that's in front of that other person and realize there's something there behind the scenes? This Purim, there's no question, you can get all of this and so much more, because that's just the beginning of the idea of what Purim could mean. But it doesn't happen automatically. You have to have effort and focus beforehand. You have to think about this. Over the next 2 days, you have today, the rest of today, you have Tainus Esther, and it's leading in to the day of Purim itself, to the night of Purim, and then the day of Purim, where you have to actually think to yourself, am I really a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I must be. So, what does that mean for me? What does that mean? How does that change my life? How does that change who I am? And am I going to be able to remember this after I get my inhibitions back, after I finish drinking? So for the rest of the year I'm there. So you don't want to live a life where every time the only way for you to find this is to drink, to bring it out. That's a sad life. That's a life in a bar. That's not a life you want to live. You want to live a life where you can bring it out even without. To just break through the system, you might need a drink. Once you're broken through, once you're out already, now it should be, just be able to be picked up, wherever it is. Don't be too busy thinking or driving or doing other things to remember what this day is all about. And it's about you. And that's why Kol HaPoshet Yad Nosema. That if you put out your hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you. You, at this point, after you just drank, you're an Eved Hashem. You're a servant. You get to see the king in the palace, in his throne room. You get to be there. And you get to serve him. Get to cut his nails, get to cut his hair, get him dressed. You can clean his clothing. You're involved. You're involved in everything that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You're the king's main men. And if you are, and you get to be inside that palace, you get to be in that area, the Mamela, say to the king, while you're fixing his clothing, oi, I need more medical insurance. Not a problem. There's no problem in giving it. It's not going to hurt him at all by giving it. You're right there. Once you're that Eved, what do you expect? And maybe that's what it means by we're having an easier time than it is Yom Kippur by the Zohar. Yom Kippur is hard because you're sitting there and you're trying to bring yourself up by davening, by learning, by doing other things on Yom Kippur to try to bring yourself to that point. Sometimes you just need to calm down for a second, have some overlaying thought that goes inside your head, and then from there, Just remember who you are and what you're doing, and look at the world with a totally different outlook, totally different life. That may change everything. That really can change everything. This is what we have to do. Think about it. Consider who you are. Consider it from the other nations, from what they think, and look at yourself totally different, and change yourself. And when you drink, it's not drinking to lose the control and to lose what you have. It's to gain a thought process, a new thought process that should be there from now on. I am not only important, I am not only the reason why the world was created, which is important, which is big. I am an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the thought process you want. Have a good, great Purim.